So one reads the Rashi's in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, after Parshas Para. So one gets a very, very strange conclusion from these Rashi's, almost a contradictory conclusion from Rashi. So Rashi starts off the beginning of Parshas Chukas by telling you, laying down the ground rules. You want to know we're about to enter into the world of Paraduma, Shabbos Parshas Para. This is it. Zeis Chukas Atayra. Rashi says, basically, don't ask any questions. Keep your mouth quiet. Don't open your mouth when we're learning Parshas Para, because Ein Lecha Rishus Lahara Chareha. You're never going to understand it anyway. There's nothing a human being can ever fathom. Amarti Echma V'Rechayk V'Meni. Rashi tells you like it is. That's what the word Chayk means. Don't ask any questions. Just listen and obey. Then a few psukim later, Rashi starts telling you this homiletics about the Paraduma. You want to know why you take a Paraduma? Why a Para? Why not a horse? Why not a sheep? Rashi says, because it was a Parshas Kisisa, which happens to be nice that it coincides this year, some years it does, some years it doesn't. But it happens to have been Cheta Egel back in Parshas Kisisa, and a Para happens to be the mother of an Egel. So everyone knows when the kid makes a mess, the mother cleans up. So nice, beautiful, very nice. Then Rashi doesn't stop. He says, and guess what? And you want to know why? Why you have to burn it? Because the Egel Zov was burnt, and why is it ashes? And he gives you this mushroom, and he gives you another metaphor, and another homiletics. And it's a drush. Tells you every single point the Paraduma Rashi explains away. Mamish, tuftam vadas. And he signs off by quoting who? Moshe Darshan. It's Kabbalah Gedrasha, Moshe Darshan. Moshe Darshan lived in Narbon, lived in Provence, before the time of Rashi. So Rashi's quoting, he had these drushes from Moshe Darshan, Gevaldike drushes, beautiful, wonderful. You know, if you would have lived today, so it would have been emailed, everybody would have these his drushes walking around every Shabbos, Gevaldike. So I understand Rashi. A minute ago, you just told me, like a hardcore Litvak, you know, don't ask any kashas, not like Litvak says kashas, but different kind of kashas. Don't ask kashas why, just what, like they say for Reb Chaim. Don't ask why, just ask what. But identify what the din is. Why the din is like that? Huzzah, it's a din. What? First Rashi starts off by saying, just learn the parasha, what it is, what do you have to do, don't ask me why. Then, in the end, Rashi gets very drushy and starts telling you, these very soft, mushals, the mushal for this, the mushal for that, what's going on? It's John Rashi. So there are a few places where the Rambam has a similar type of a style about certain mitzvahs. But the Rambam wants to make it very clear that the mitzvah that we're dealing with is a chayk. It's in that category of mitzvah that we don't really understand. And the Rambam says, a pemole. And then in mamash, in the same breath, the Rambam says, but let me explain to you something you can learn from this chayk. The Rambam has a lash like that in Hilchos Tshuva. Anyone remember where? Kishayv, the Rambam writes, Afal pi shet kishayv Rosh Hashanah gzeres hakosavi, which is like a disclaimer by saying, by the way, it's gzeres hakosavi, you'll never understand it. Rem is yesh bedavar, u yeshen mishnaschem. There's a hint, it's like an alarm clock to wake you up. The Rambam has kimat the exact lashon in the end of Hilchos Mikvos. The Rambam writes that, Afal pi shet tumu v'tara mechugi atayrahem. Even though Tumah V'Tahara and Tefillah V'Mikvah Achukim, we never really understand. But Remez Yesh B'Davar, that if you go into water and water is like Torah and it elevates you, Remechish Chadash, Remechish Kedem, Mehadas, Remechish the whole, Remechish the whole story at the end of Hilchos Mikvos. So what are the Rishonim deriving at? They're walking this tightrope. Is it a chayk or is it not a chayk? Is there something to glean or is it not something to glean? So the Rishonim used the phrase when they discussed reasons of mitzvahs. They used the phrase Tameh HaMitzvahs. So the word ta'am has a double meaning to it. Ta'am means a reason, but ta'am also means taste. Food has taste. So I would ask you, Bereshit created the world b'chachmasai, and he created the notion of food. What is the goal of the Ribbono Shel Olam of our eating the food? Why did Bereshit create food for? What's the purpose of the food? So you don't need that much of an advanced degree in biology to understand that Bereshit b'chachmasai built the world in such a way that a person needs the physical world, the element teva needs, a person needs its proteins, it needs its carbohydrates, it needs its fats, these all things to make the body function. That you want to make a world. Next time when you create a world, you create it differently. But the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. So the Ribbono Shel Olam b'chachmasai created that the human being has to function in this and this way, not just the human being, the animals, the plant, everyone basically needs the same type, right? Same, pretty much the same kind of stuff. So we get all those needs that we, all the things that we need from the world of food. So the primary purpose of eating, there's no question about it, is to sustain life. Without the food, without the energy, without the carbohydrates, without the proteins, we wouldn't be able to survive. That's the goal of eating. Chodesh Baruch Hu B'chachmasai could have made that food taste terrible. He could have made it taste bland, taste like schmach, like nothing. He could have. We would have still had to eat, because as soon as we would have realized that by not eating, the person would die, we would have eaten anyway. Chodesh Baruch Hu B'tuva HaGadol said to us, you know what? Not only am I going to provide you with food which is going to serve you nutrition and it's going to enable you to survive and to live in this world, but I love you so much, I'm going to make it taste good. You can enjoy it. And the Baruch Hashem created an unbelievable thing. Created this delicious fruit, created vegetables, and created meat. Stuff tastes really good. Now, truth to be told, sometimes there's a correlation, inverse correlation between how good the food for you and how good it tastes. That's because we ruined it, because we took all this yummy, yummy food and we threw all kind of chazarai that wasn't supposed to be. We weren't supposed to be eating all the stuff in the back of the potato chips bag. Boshram created potato chips to be eaten. He didn't create these chemicals to be eaten. He created the chemicals for other things. We decided we have a mishigas. We have to put jalapeno flavor on our potato chips to make it taste any better. We should have just been eating a potato, cooked potato. But that's another time, another place. Nutrition 101. So the Rebbeinu Shalom created min achila. There's the real purpose, which is for an unbelievable, sublime, noble purpose of a person being alive, to be able to do Torah mitzvahs, to be able to survive this world, to be able to do what we're supposed to be doing in this world. You have to be alive and healthy and well. And to top it all off, the Rebbeinu Shalom was giving a little wink from Shemayim and saying, I love you so much, I want you to enjoy it. I want you to enjoy that apple also. It's good. It's okay. I want you to be happy. It's good for me. It's good for you. It's good for you to be happy. That's what the Rishayim is saying about mitzvahs also. Why is there a paraduma? If you think that the paraduma is just so you can have a drasha to say in Shabbos morning, Pashas Para, about Yavah Eimek and Echaz, if you think that all Tkiyah Shofar is about is to give you a little bit of a wake-up call because it's Rosh Hashanah, if you think all of Hilchos Mikvaos is just because a guy should feel, oh, I'm going into the world of water of wisdom and, you know, eight levels of immersion and wisdom, it's cute. It's nice. It's not cute. It's nice. The Rebbeinu Shalom wants us to look for those things. That's why there's a Sugif Tam in this. That's why the Yishayim, that's why the Rambam wrote Svarim, that's why the Sefer Chinuch, that's why Rav Shimshon Ful Hirsch, that's why Gedolei Olam for hundreds of thousands of years has been writing Svarim on Tavi HaMitzvahs. Why? Because that highlights the Rebbeinu Shalom's love for us, that there's so much that we can relate to. Shabbos is so beautiful. There's so many beautiful drashas we can write this. And there's so many beautiful messages to fill in. And so all the mitzvahs, even the chukim, even the paradum, which is so hard for us to understand, it's so beautiful. And the Rebbeinu Shalom gives us good taste of everything. But it's tabi ha-mitzvahs. It's just a taste. What it is really, truly, in its heart and soul, without it, gehem chayin v'rechameinu, without the paraduma, without the mikvah, without the shofar, we can't survive. We would cease to exist. The same way that our bodies need that nutrition, whether it tastes good or not, our neshamas, the world, the entire existence of the universe needs the shmiras ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvahs. Every once in a while, nebuch, a person's taste buds aren't functioning properly. Sometimes you get like a bit cold or something, you know, it interferes. Sometimes you can't taste well. So the guy's going to go on strike. Well, if I can't taste, I'm not eating anymore. He's going to die if he stops eating. Eventually, right? At some point, he's going to die if he stops eating. So sometimes, in our appreciation of Torah mitzvah, sometimes the taste buds aren't working right. Sometimes we have some kind of an infection. Something's interfering with our ability to taste properly. That doesn't pop the person from eating. It doesn't mean that just because I can't exactly right now appreciate, I don't understand the godless of paraduma, I don't understand the whole marshal right now, I didn't go to Rav Moshe Radarshan Shira Narvon, I'm not sure what he's talking about. That's irrelevant. But you still need the nutrition, you still need the paraduma, you still need the mikvah, you still need the shofar. So that's what Rashi and Chumash and the Rambam, those two places, are saying the same thing. That first and foremost, know what the emes is. The emes is, Ein lecha lahara chara, gezeir mufan exes akosavi, it's there because the Rebbeinu Shalom said it, that's it. The Rebbeinu Shalom created the world, he knows the rules of the world, he set the rules of the world, the mitzvahs are as necessary for the world as the amino acids are for your body to function. That's a given. The Chaz de HaGadol, the Rosh will give you a wink from Shemayim and says, you know what? I'm going to give you something nice, a good rush, something you can appreciate. It tastes good, the mitzvahs. They're enjoyable, the shmak. They give you an insight in religion, in morals, and ethics, connection to Rabban Shalom. They give you something beautiful and sweet tasting in addition to them being absolutely critical for your existence. Those are Tamei mitzvahs. So hopefully Rosh Hashanah should give us this Yad Mishmaya to appreciate both dimensions of his beautiful, wonderful Tamei mitzvahs. Sunday is so,